Maranatha, and welcome, beloved, to another few moments of fellowship together as we look into the Word of the Living God and realize the glorious plan and purpose that God has for each one of our lives. We're looking in Ephesians chapter 1, and oh, I love this book of Ephesians. It's so full of wonderful, wonderful truth. As it begins to open up our eyes and our understanding to who we are in Christ Jesus, and learning more about our identity in Christ, and what it means to be a child of God, and how we can live as more than conquerors, live victoriously to the glory, honor, and praise of the Lord. How that we do not have to live under the circumstances, but we can walk above the circumstances with Christ, even as Peter walked on the water to go to the Lord Jesus in the midst of that storm, as he had his eyes fixed on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Oh yes, beloved, how we need to keep our spiritual eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might live above the circumstances, that we might be true and faithful to Him, irregardless of what we encounter as we walk along life's pathway, even if it comes to the point and the place where it will require us giving our life for Jesus Christ. His grace will be sufficient. His strength will be made perfect in our weakness, and we'll, beloved, can be to the glory and honor and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, don't let rejection trip you up any longer. Don't let rejection keep you from being the witness, the testimony, the example of the believer. Don't let rejection keep you from being all that God wants you to be. And you're living victoriously as more than a conqueror, to His glory, His honor, and His praise. Notice again here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. God the Father has made us acceptable in Christ Jesus. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, in whom He is well pleased. Oh yes, beloved, and as we've seen, we are in Christ. We have been placed into Christ by the work of the new birth and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And thus we see these truths are applicable to every child of God. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption, speaking of Christ Jesus, in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the precious blood of Jesus. Why is the blood so important? Remember, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and it represents the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was given in sacrifice for you and for me. He became our substitute. He died in our place. I may have mentioned this before, but many years ago I heard a story, an account, a true account, of a man that was in the Civil War. During those days he was living, and he was in the South. And there was a young man that was a neighbor boy. His dad had died, and though this man had a number of children, he had taken in this neighbor boy under his wing, so to speak, had taught him much, had spent time with him, had worked with him, and the young man had learned to love him greatly. The day came when this man received his induction into the service of the Confederacy. And the young man that he had befriended and cared for found out about it. And he said to him, "You have a wife, you have a number of children here that you're responsible for. I don't have anyone that I'm responsible for. Let me go in your place. I'll take your name and I will serve in your place." And so it was finally agreed, the man finally agreed to let him do that. He took his papers, he went and was inducted into the service of the Confederacy in the name of this gentleman that he was going to represent. And in the first battle he was engaged in, this young man died for his representing the gentleman that had brought him up and had helped invest so much time in his life. And so the day came when once again there was another notice that came through the mail to this man to come and be inducted in the service of the Confederacy. And he went to the place where the letter had come from, and he said, "Sirs, look up your records. In your records, I have already died for the Confederacy." And so they looked up the records and the name, and they found out that sure enough, according to their records, he was dead, because the young man had died in his place. And so they had to say, "Well, we have no power over you, because according to our records, you've died, so you're free to go." And so he was able to go back home and care for his family and his children and raise them through the ordeal of the Civil War, because someone else had taken his place. Someone else had died for him. Beloved, that's what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. He took our place. He bore the rejection of Almighty God for you and me there on that old rugged cross. That's why he cried out, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was because of your sins. It was because of my sins that were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me, beloved, but he also died for you. He died in our place, that whosoever would put their faith and trust in him and accept him as Savior might be delivered from the bondage of sin, might be set free, and might be given the gift of salvation, eternal life, and forgiveness. He took my place, and he took your place. And thus, beloved, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. God has, through Christ, abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Oh, beloved, the world does not know who Jesus is. If you recall, in the book of Matthew, it tells about a time when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" And one of them said, "They say you're Elijah, risen from the dead." And another said, you're another one of the prophets." And then he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Yes, they knew who he was, but you see, the world didn't know who he was. And beloved, the world does not know who you and I are. They do not know that we're joint heirs with the eternal God. They do not know that we're heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ, joint heirs with Christ, and that we are going to someday rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ here upon this earth for that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And so the world doesn't recognize who we are. But, beloved, we're King's kids. We're kids of the Lord God, the King of the universe. We're His children, and we're to live as more than conquerors. We're to live victoriously through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Oh, we cannot do it in our own strength and in our own ability, because there's sin that indwells these fleshly bodies that we're going to have to contend with as long as we live in these bodies. As Paul tells us over in Romans 7, and we'll get to it as we look into Romans 7 in the days ahead, we'll get into this part of our study in understanding who we are. We'll see that sin indwells these fleshly bodies, and that's why these bodies have to die, because the wages of sin is death. And therefore we see that sin is working within the members of our body, and we have to contend with that as long as we are in these physical bodies. And that's why you're tempted by sin. That's why you have strange lusts that stir up and that occur and that seek to ensnare and enslave and draw you under their power. It's because of indwelling sin that's in this fleshly body, and the law of sin that is at work in this body, as he tells us there in the latter part of Romans chapter 7, that in our flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And Paul says, to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, that's where the problem comes in. He says, when I set out to do good, evil is present with me. That's a law, beloved, just like the law of gravity. And as you determine that you're going to get into the Word of God, you're going to find all kinds of things coming up to interfere. The phone's going to ring. The dog's going to need to be put out. The children are going to start crying. Something is going to try to interfere to keep you from getting into the Word of God and meditating on the truth of God's Word and growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, because sin is prevalent about us, and we're in a battle against the forces of evil, the principalities, the powers of darkness, the demons of Satan. We're in spiritual warfare, beloved, and that's why the Christian walk and the Christian life involves struggle with the old flesh and drawing upon our resources in Christ and walking in victory to the honor and glory and praise of our Lord Jesus. Well, beloved, our time goes by so quickly, but join us again next time. Till then, goodbye.